Amen. All right. Well, it is a blessing to be here this morning. Just want to say thank you for having me here this morning. Of course, Pastor Robertson already mentioned my name is Joe Major. I'm the pastor of Faith Baptist Church in New Orleans, Louisiana, over in America. And so, again, just want to say thank you for having me here today. Now, let's go down to Ecclesiastes chapter number 1 here today. This is what we're going to look at. And what I'm going to be preaching on is found in verses 14 and 15 right there. And the Bible says, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. And so right there in verse number 15, it says, that which is crooked cannot be made straight. Now, if we were to go over to chapter 7, turn over there very quickly, we have another verse that's very similar to that. In chapter 7, verse number 13, the Bible says right there, consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? So the Bible makes it plain, who can make straight that which God has made crooked? And what I'm going to preach on here today is make the world straight again. Now, something that I have noticed here as I've been in the Philippines, and as some have pointed out to me, is that there is a growing problem, not only within the world, but also within the Philippines, of sodomy, of homosexuals just being out in the open, of it being a sin that is condoned by the world, an agenda that is being shoved down our throats. And you know what? We want to see what the Bible has to say about that. And you know, these sodomites out there, the Bible makes it plain that God has given them over to a reprobate mind. These are people that are vile, that are disgusting, that are wicked. Their sin, the Bible makes plain, is an abomination unto God. Now, the word abomination, that means to have extreme hatred for. So if something is an abomination unto God, that means that God has extreme hatred for that sin or for that person, because they are an abomination unto the Lord, and God has given them over to a reprobate mind. You see, how a person becomes a sodomite in the first place, it's not because they were born that way. They're not born that way. They are given over to a reprobate mind. God gives them up to those things, gives them over to their imagination to go after those wicked things, so that they will utterly perish in their own corruption. And it is a vile, wicked sin that is a stench and a plague upon society. In fact, take your Bibles. Let's go to Romans chapter number 1 here this morning. Romans chapter number 1, look at verse number 18 when you get over there. Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 18, we'll look at what the Bible has to say there. Romans chapter number 1 and look down to verse number 18, and the Bible says this in Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 18. The Bible says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which which are not convenient. So notice three times in that chapter, the Bible makes it clear that God has given them over. God has given them up. He's given them over to a reprobate mind. Why and for what reason? Because the Bible says because they rejected God. Because they did not want to retain God in their knowledge. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, but rather they turned and worshipped the creatures and the things of this earth and four-footed beasts, worshipped everything that is not God, and refused to worship the one true God. And therefore the Bible says that God gave them up to do these things. He gave them up to a reprobate mind. Now, this sin of homosexuality, this sin of sodomy, let me just explain to you, it is not just a sin. You see, there are those out there that try to justify this sin, and they'll say, well, it's just a sin, and we are all sinners, so therefore we can't judge them, and we can't judge their sin. But is that what the Bible says? No, the Bible makes it plain that not only is it a sin, but it is an abomination, the Bible says. And listen, not every sin out there is an abomination. You know what? When a child, if he steals, you know, something from his parents, that is sin, but it's not an abomination. You see, an abomination is something that is wicked and vile, detestable, and disgusting. An abomination is something that God hates. You know, it would be an abomination to me to eat dog crap, don't you think? To eat dung? Wouldn't that be an abomination to us? Don't you have a disgust for that? You know, how many of us see dogs that just do disgusting things out there? I mean, dogs, they'll sit there, they'll eat their own vomit. Isn't that disgusting to us? That is an abomination to us. And so you know what? There are things that just as that makes us grossed out and it's vile and disgusting to us, there are things that sins like that that are that vile and disgusting to God. And sodomy is one of them. And so much so that God in His Word gives the death penalty for that sin. Amen. You see, it's not just a sin. It's not just an abomination. It is also in the Bible, according to God, a criminal offense. Right. Now listen, our laws do not stem from the government. And our rights do not come from the government. Who do our rights come from? They come from God. The Bible tells us that there is one lawgiver. And you know who that lawgiver is? That lawgiver is God. And I don't know about you, but I would rather have a righteous and just and true and holy and loving and merciful and gracious God be the one who is the lawgiver than men. Because you know what? Man's laws change from time to time. Man's laws change year by year. But you know whose laws never change? God's laws. You see, I could open up the law book for the Philippines here today, and we could go back year by year, and we could see how those laws have changed in the Philippines. Or we could do the same thing in America, and we could see that the laws in America change year by year. But you know what? If we open up the Word of God and we read in the Bible, does this right here change year by year? No, it doesn't change year by year. It doesn't change according to the customs. It doesn't change according to the times. No, God's Word is preserved for all men, for every generation, for every nation. And one day, it is this book right here and the laws of God that are going to rule and reign on this planet. Jesus Christ is going to come back one day, and the Bible makes it plain. We'll see these verses later on, but the Bible makes it plain that the law shall go forth from Zion. Now, if the law is going forth from Zion, what law do you think God is talking about there? Do you think He's talking about the law of the Philippines? No. Do you think He's talking about the law of America? No, absolutely not. What law is He talking about? His own laws, that the law of God is going to go forth from Zion. Jesus is going to rule and reign on this planet. And there's a lot of people who have a rude awakening coming when they see how Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign. And let's just get a little taste of that from this chapter, shall we? Look down at chapter 1 right there. Look down at verse number 30. And the Bible says this about these sodomites. It says, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things, what's this say, are what? Are worthy of death. Now that's what the Bible says. So the Bible says that these that would commit this kind of a sin of sodomy, homosexuality, that they are worthy of death. And that's not just Old Testament. That's in the New Testament that we just read that there. And the Bible says that they are worthy of death. Why are they worthy of death? Well, the Bible makes it plain in the book of Leviticus in chapter number 20, verse number 13. It says that those that would commit that sin, it says they should be put to death. And it says their blood shall be upon their own head. Because these sodomites are filthy, wicked people that would love nothing more than to destroy and wipe out every Christian on the face of this planet. They are implacable, the Bible says. That means they cannot be satisfied. You cannot satisfy them. You give them a little bit here and a little bit there. You give them a little rights over here and a little bit over there. And it'll never be enough. And it will never be enough for them until every Christian is wiped off the face of this planet. Because the Bible says they don't even want to retain God in their knowledge. Well, if they don't want to retain God in their knowledge, do you think they want to look at Christians who are reminding them of God? Absolutely not. They don't want to. They want to destroy Christians from off the face of this world. And if we were to go to nation after nation here today and do a little history lesson of going back in time, we would see every nation that ever exalted sodomy was destroyed and wiped out. That sin destroys and plagues a nation. Now take your Bibles, go to Leviticus chapter number 20. Let's turn back over there. Leviticus chapter number 20, look at verse number 11. I mentioned this verse a moment ago. Let's go ahead and go back over there and see this. Leviticus chapter number 20, look at verse number 11. And the Bible says this in Leviticus chapter number 20, and verse number 11, the Bible says this: "And the man that lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered his father's nakedness, both of them shall surely be put to death, and their blood shall be upon them." Now the Bible makes it plain there that the man that would lie with his father's wife, that God says he is to be put to death. Now how many here think that God is just okay with you going and lying with your father's wife? Anybody think that's okay? Because we're in the New Testament now? Because we're in the supposed age of grace, that's okay? No, that's not okay with God, is it? Let's continue reading. Look at verse number 12. "And the man that shall, and if a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have wrought confusion, their blood shall be upon them." Now, would it be okay for a man to lie with his daughter-in-law? No, absolutely not. That is an abomination unto God. And God gives a death penalty for that. So if God gives a death penalty for these sins, and it's not okay with Him in the Old Testament, then why would we take one verse out in verse number 13 and say, well, this one we're just going to throw it away, and God's okay with this one today? Is that what we see in the Bible? Absolutely not. Look at verse number 13. "If a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them," the Bible says, "have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them." So the Bible commandment in the Word of God is that those that would commit this sin, the Bible says they are to be put to death. Now let me just say this before somebody takes my words out of context here this morning. I am not saying that we should go around and just kill sodomites. Right? Whose job is it to put to death murderers? The government's, right? Whose job is it to punish those that would steal or rape or kidnap? Whose job is it to punish them? Is it my job or the government's job? It's the government's job, right? So it's not our job to go around and try to punish these people, but it is our job to preach what the Bible says, and then it's the government's job to put this into enforce and to punish those that would commit these kinds of sins. The Bible says in the New Testament that the government is the minister of God and he beareth not the sword in vain. Now, if the government bears not the sword in vain, let me ask you, what is a sword made for? Is that something that's just made for giving somebody a whipping? Is that made for just giving a spanking to somebody? Is that what it's made for? Just hitting somebody across the backside? No, the sword is made for what? The sword is made for killing, is what it's made for. And if the Bible says that the government is the minister of God, and that he beareth not the sword in vain, the Bible is saying that it is the government's job to put these things into force and to enforce the laws of God, that they are to be the one that put to death those that would commit these kinds of sins. Now take your Bibles there and look on down at verse number 16. Look what the Bible says there. Bible says this in verse number 16. And if a woman approach unto any beast and lie down thereto, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast, they shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. Now, is it okay in the New Testament for a woman to lie with a beast? No, absolutely not. And listen, those that would do that, they ought to be put to death. That ought to be a crime that is punishable by the death penalty. Now look on down to what the Bible has to say in verse number 27 of this same chapter. And the Bible says there, a man also, or a woman that hath a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones, their blood shall be upon them. So again, the death penalty is given to those that would be wizards or witches that deal with familiar spirits, those that are involved in witchcraft. Again, God gives a death penalty. Now listen, that is basically what this chapter covers in Leviticus. It covers crimes that God gives the capital punishment that are to be put to death. And if we're going to say that these others ought to be punished, well, then you can't take verse number 13 and say, well, we don't like that one, so let's just throw that one away. Right. You know what? As Christians, we believe the Bible. Amen. As Christians, the Bible is our sole authority. It's our only authority for faith and practice. We don't get our faith and practice from the government. Right. We don't get our faith and practice from a denomination. By the way, you don't get your faith and practice from the pastor. Right. You know who you get your faith and practice from? You get your faith and practice from the Bible, from God's Word. And if God says that they are to be put to death, well, then I believe it. Because I'm a Bible-believing Christian. I'm a King James-only Bible-believing Christian. And therefore, if I claim to be King James-only, and I claim to believe the Bible, then when I read something in the Bible, then I'm going to believe the Bible even if I don't like it. Because let me just tell you something. There are things in this Bible that my flesh does not like. You know why my flesh does not like some of the things that are in this Bible? Because the spirit and the flesh, they war against one another. You see, the flesh is sinful, and the flesh wants to walk in sin. The flesh wants to commit sins, but then my spirit wars against the flesh. And you know what? Sometimes I read things in the Bible, and my flesh goes, I don't like that. But you know what I do? My spirit overcomes it. And I say, I don't care whether I like it or not. That's what God says. And His ways are higher than my ways. His understanding is higher than my understanding. And so I'm going to go with what God says, even if I don't like it, and even if I don't understand it, then I'm going to believe what God says about it, because His ways are the best ways. And we need to put aside the wisdom of the world and seek after the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of the world would say, no, these people are just normal people. The wisdom of the world would say, well, just bring them in, give them their rights, just allow them to come in and allow them to be in the church and to watch your children, take care of your children. That is foolishness. You see, the wisdom of God is greater than the wisdom of man. And if God says to put him to death, He is doing that for a reason. Because listen, let me ask you, why does God say to put to death the rapist? Out of love. You know why He says to put to death the rapist? You know how that is out of love? It's not out of love for the rapist, because the rapist deserves to be hated. The rapist deserves to be given the death penalty. He deserves to die, but it's out of love for the victim. It's out of love for that woman or that child that has been molested, that has been victimized. God loves that victim, and therefore He says, put to death the rapist. Amen. He says, put to death those that would kidnap people. Why? Because those people are vile, wicked people that care nothing about anybody else. You see, God says to put to death the murderer out of love for the people, out of love for those that would be the victims, because the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter number 1 that the end of the commandment is charity. The end of the commandment is love. And God gives these commandments in His Word out of love for you and I. You know why God gives the commandment for sodomites, homosexuals to be put to death out of love for you and I? Because they're backbiters. Because they're whisperers. Because they are unmerciful. Because they are implacable, the Bible says. Because they don't care anything about anybody else. All they care about is themselves and fulfilling the flesh. And they will do whatever they want to, whatever they have to fulfill the lust of their flesh. And they don't care if they destroy your life. They don't care if they destroy the life of some child by molesting that child and being a pedophile. They don't care if they destroy that person. And therefore, God says to put them to death out of love for the victim. You see, they sit there and they say, well, we're love and we're all about love. No, they're not. They're all about hate. You see, you know what? They're a bunch of hypocrites is what they are. Because they sit there and say, we're all about love when all they're about is hate. You see, we're not hypocrites here this morning. You know why? Because we say we're all about love and we're all about hate. Amen. Because you know what? The Bible says that there is a time to love and there's a time to hate. There's a time for war and there's a time for peace. The Bible makes it plain in the book of Psalms. You can read chapter after chapter after chapter of people that the Bible says that God hates. Hosea chapter number 9, God says about the children of Israel that He would love them no more, therefore He abhorred them. He hated them, the Bible says. Why? Because they rejected God. And you know, these kinds of people that we're talking about here this morning, they have rejected God. They rejected the love of God. Therefore, God hates them because they have become the enemies of God and they are seeking to destroy the people of God and destroy innocent people, innocent men, women, and children, and destroy their lives. Therefore, God hates them. Did you know the majority of people in this world that are spreading 80% in America of those who have diseases like syphilis are homosexuals, are sodomite men? And these same sodomite men that have diseases like syphilis and gonorrhea and HIV, diseases that are highly communicable through that kind of a lifestyle, that those men, they literally go and they are with not just one person. They will admit that they have been with hundreds or thousands of people. So think about this. They have literally been with hundreds and thousands of other members of the same sex, knowing that they have syphilis, knowing that they have gonorrhea, knowing that they have HIV, and knowing that they go and they give that disease to another person. Is that somebody that actually loves people? You know, if I had a disease that I knew was contagious, let's say I had a disease that was highly contagious, do you think I would be here with you this morning? No, you know what I would do if I had a disease that was highly contagious because I love people? I would be quarantined in my room, staying away from people because I don't want to give you that disease. So you know what? Those that would commit this sin, knowing that they have those diseases that are highly contagious through those actions, and then they go and they're with 1,000 other people, well, they potentially gave that disease to 1,000 people. Don't you think that's wicked? Absolutely, that's wicked. Those that would commit this sin of homosexuality, they are disgusting, vile, wicked people. They are murderers. They are disgusting, they're vile, they're murderers, and they don't care about you. They don't care about people out there in the world. Therefore, God gives them the death penalty. That's why He does it, out of love for you and I. Out of love for those that would be their victims, He says, put them to death. Because you know what? If in the Philippines, if we put the sodomites to death in the Philippines, you think there'd be a whole lot of them walking around your malls? You think there'd be a whole lot of them walking around your streets every day, and you have to sit there and wash your eyes out with soap and bleach because you saw these stinking sissy queers walking around? And you know what? While I'm on that note here this morning, I can see that in the Philippines has been invaded by all kinds of effeminate clothing, just like the United States has. And it's probably the United States, my country, that's brought it over here. And let me just say this, you young men, when you grow up, don't you wear a pair of skinny jeans. Don't you sit there and put your hair in a stinking man bun and put makeup all over your face. That's disgusting, it's vile, and it's wicked. And the Bible says that it is a sin for a man to be effeminate. You know what? Men need to stand up and be men. Men need to grow up and they need to be strong. You see, men, the Bible says that the glory of a young man is his strength. The glory of a young man is not this little prissy boy that just prances all over the place. No, the glory of a young man is his strength. He grows up. He's strong. He works hard. He provides for his family. And he doesn't sit there walking around in a pair of skinny jeans looking like a queer. You know what? That has invaded your country, and you need to take a stand against it. And make sure you're not dressing like that. Take your Bibles here this morning. Go to Matthew chapter number 5. Look what the Bible has to say there. Matthew chapter number 5. And look down at what the Bible has to say in verse number 17. This is Jesus Christ himself speaking. Because there are those that would say, well, that was an Old Testament law. And now because we're in the New Testament, that law is done away with. Now because Jesus has died on the cross and we're under his grace, that law has been done away with. Well, let me ask you a question. Has the law of putting murderers to death been, is that done away with just because we're in the New Testament? No. Is the law of putting rapists to death done away with just because we're in the New Testament? No. You see, the things that change in the New Testament are the laws that Jesus Christ fulfilled. Now, look at what the Bible has to say. Look at Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to do what? To fulfill, the Bible says. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Amen. So the Bible says not one jot or one tittle shall pass away. Now what's a jot and a tittle? A jot, if you know English, a jot would be like the cross mark on a T, or the dot on an I. That's what a jot and a tittle is. So not even a jot or a tittle shall nowise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. So you know, is Jesus Christ saying that the law has been done away with here? No, it's not been done away with. It's still to be enforced. Look at what else he says. Look at verse number 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So you know what? Is Jesus saying do away with the law? Is that what Jesus is saying? No, Jesus is saying if you even teach men to not keep the least of my commandments, that you will be the least in the kingdom of heaven, the Bible says. You see what Jesus is showing us here in the Bible is that the parts of the law that have changed have to do with that which Jesus Christ fulfilled. You see, when Jesus came to this earth, what did he come as? He came as our sacrifice. And he took our place, right? So he took the place of those Old Testament laws that had to do with the sacrifices, the ceremonial aspects of the law, the Passover, the Sabbath, the sacrifices, the diverse washings, the meats, the drinks, those carnal ordinances of the law. All those things had to do with the ceremonial aspects of the tabernacle. You see, those things are what have changed because it changed from being a Levitical priesthood to in the New Testament being a priesthood of believers. It changed from the Old Testament, a high priest of the tribe of Levi, to now today, the high priest is the Lord Jesus Christ, who's after the order of Melchizedek, the Bible says. You see, those things change, but when it comes to God's moral laws and when it comes to God's criminal laws, those things have never changed. Those things will never, ever change because Jesus said, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Let me ask you a question. Has all been fulfilled today? I mean, as Jesus Christ came back and returned to this earth and we're living under the reign of Jesus, or even past that, that heaven and earth has passed away and we're living on the new heaven and new earth today? You think we're living on the new heaven and new earth today? No, I don't think it'll be this hot in the new heaven and new earth, thank God. But you know what? This is not going to pass away till all be fulfilled. Now take your Bibles. Let's look at some more scripture here this morning. Go ahead and go to 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and look at what the Bible has to say there. 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and look at verse number 5. 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and look down to verse number 5. See what the Bible has to say there. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. And look down at verse number 5, and the Bible says this. I quoted some of this a little bit earlier. But look at what the Bible says. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 5. It says, "Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is what? Good if a man does what? Use it lawfully." So you know what? The law is good if a man uses it rightly. If a man uses it according to how God intended it. Continue reading there, verse 9. "Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers." Notice this, verse 10. "For who? Whoremongers. And for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine." So you know what? The Bible makes it plain, not only in Romans 1, but in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, that these laws of God about the criminal offenses are still enforced by God today in our day and time. That those that He would have put to death in the Old Testament, guess what? God today would still put them to death. And when Jesus Christ returns, by the way, we're about to get into some of this, He is going to put them to death. Take your Bibles, go to Isaiah chapter number 2. Look what the Bible says there. Isaiah chapter number 2, and look down at verse number 2. Isaiah chapter number 2, and verse number 2. And look at what the Bible says there. Isaiah chapter number 2, and verse number 2. And the Bible says this in verse number 2. "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, and He will teach us His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And He shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." So those verses are clear that in the last days, in the end times, this is talking about when Jesus Christ returns to this world, that He is going to have the law that goes forth from Zion. Amen. Now, as we have talked about here this morning, what law do you think is going to go forth from Zion? Do you think it's going to be the law of man? No. You think it's going to be the law of the Philippines? No. You think it's going to be the law of America? No, absolutely not. Listen, the law of the Philippines is not perfect. The law of America is not perfect. The law of any nation on the face of this earth is not perfect. But you know what law is perfect? Well, the Bible says that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. You see, it's the law of God that's going to go forth from Zion. And there's only one way to make this world straight again, by the way. You know how that is? The only way to make that which is straight, which was crooked, well, no man can do that. Guess who's going to do it? God is going to do it. Jesus Christ is going to do it. When He returns to this earth and when He sets up His millennial kingdom on this earth, you know what's going to happen when Jesus comes back? He's going to put sodomites to death. You know, in the book of Leviticus chapter 20, all those lists of things that we read there, of people that were to be put to death, all of those kinds of people will be put to death under the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. You see, people in this world, they have a rude awakening coming because they picture Jesus as just some kind of softy. You see, the Catholics, when they look at Jesus, what do they see? They see some long-haired, hippie-looking man that is made up by the Catholic Church. That's not Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, when He comes back, you better read the book of Revelation and look at the appearance of Jesus Christ. Jesus, when He returns to this earth, He's got feet that shine as fine brass as if they burn in a furnace. He's got eyes that were as flames as fire. His head and His hairs were white like wool. And you know what? When He comes back, there's a sword that comes out of His mouth that He will smite the nations with, the Bible says. Because when He comes back, He's not coming back as some lamb. He's coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. He's coming back to make war when He comes back. You see, He didn't come to make war the first time. But the second time when He comes back, Jesus Christ is coming back in warfare. And He's going to destroy people from off the face of this earth. Let's take our Bibles, go to Revelation chapter number 8. Look at what the Bible has to say there. Revelation chapter number 8. And look down at verse number 12. Revelation chapter number 8. And look down at verse number 12. See what the Bible says there. Revelation chapter number 8. And look down to verse number 12. And the Bible says in Revelation 8, verse number 12. The Bible says in that verse, it says, "And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." So in the book of Revelation, we're talking about the end times, and we're getting through the wrath of God in the book of Revelation. And the Bible says there are three woes there, and it's to the inhabitants of the earth. And you know what? When we look at all three of these woes, and we'll look at them in a moment, each woe gets worse than the one before. Amen. Each judgment gets worse than the judgment that God had before it. And the last woe, by the way, is Jesus when He returns. So let's look at these. Take your Bibles, go to Revelation 9. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says in Revelation 9 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given a key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them." So in one of these woes that we see here, the bottomless pit, hell, is opened up, and these creatures, these locusts, come out of the bottomless pit, and God gives them power to torment men on this earth for 5 months. I mean, do you think God is loving these people right now? No. God is angry with these people. He's angry with the world because they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, and because they have gone and they've slain the prophets and they've slain the people of God, and Babylon is guilty of all the blood that was shed upon the earth, and therefore the wrath of God is being unleashed on this world, and the locusts are going forth and tormenting men for 5 months. And imagine how immense this torment must be, that you would wish you were dead. That you would seek to kill yourself, and yet you can't. That's how bad this is. Has anybody ever been in that point where you were in so much pain that you just felt like you wanted to kill yourself? Most people probably not. You know, there might be a person here or there, but most of us have never felt that kind of pain. Well, that's kind of the kind of pain that's being inflicted on this earth, on mankind, is that they are in so much physical pain that they literally want to kill themselves. But you know what's worse than this judgment right here? Is when Jesus Christ returns. Let's move on. Look at the next one. Go to Revelation chapter number 11. Look at what the Bible says there. Revelation chapter 11. Look at verse number 13. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter number 11 and verse number 13, it says, in the same hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake was slain men 7,000. And the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe was past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. So in the second woe, there's an earthquake that's so destructive that 7,000 men perish. 7,000 men are killed in that city when this earthquake strikes, and yet this is only the second woe. And yet there is still some to come. Look down at verse number 15. The Bible says in verse 15, it says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Amen. You see, this right here, verse number 15, that is the third woe. Right. When Jesus Christ returns to this earth, that is the third woe that is coming upon this earth. Look at Revelation 19. Look at what the Bible says there. Revelation 19. Let's read about when Jesus Christ returns. Look down at verse number 15. Revelation 19, verse number 15. And the Bible says, and out of His mouth goeth a what? A sharp sword. Let me ask you a question. Again, do you use a sharp sword just to spank somebody with? No. Do you use it just to discipline somebody with? No, what do you use a sharp sword for? Warfare. You use it for fighting. You use it for killing. Look at what the Bible says here. And it says in verse number 15 again, and out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations. And He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. So when Jesus returns, guess what He's doing? He's returning to make warfare. Hey, you know what? When the Philippines and when America and when all the nations of this earth gather themselves together against the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what Jesus is going to do? He's going to slay them. He's going to kill them. He's going to destroy them. This is the final woe. And the Bible says that He will rule them with a rod of iron. You know what? Does that sound like He's just going to be gentle? No, He's going to rule with a rod of iron. He's going to enforce the laws of God. And by the way, if you think as a Christian that you're not going to take part in that, you might want to check up and read your Bible. Because in the book of Revelation, the Bible makes it plain that he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations to rule with a rod of iron. So you know what? Just as Jesus is going to rule with a rod of iron, if I am saved and then I keep the works of God unto the end, then I'm going to rule with Him with a rod of iron. Amen. You know what? I'm looking forward to that day and time, because you know what? Right now, it's not our job to enforce the laws of God and to put people to death. But did you know during this day and time, it will be our job? Because Jesus Christ will be the government of this earth, and we as Christians will be the government that is upon this earth. We will be enforcing the laws of God, the laws of Jesus Christ. And so you know what? If Jesus Christ says to you, hey, why don't you go kill that sodomite over there? You know what? You're going to do it. Amen. Because that's the laws of God. And we are the government. And by the way, we will have the authority at that time and the right to do it. You see, at that time, this entire world is going to be made straight. Because there's only one way to make the world straight. You know what that is? Put them all to death. That's the only way to make this world straight, to get rid of all the sodomites. And you might think that's harsh. You might think that's cruel. You might think that's hateful. But that's exactly what the Bible says Jesus is going to do. And if you don't like that, you have a problem not with Pastor Major. You have a problem not with Pastor Logan Robertson. You have a problem with the Bible and with the Word of God. Because that's what the Bible says. That's the Word of God. That's not the law of man. You know, I don't care about the laws of man. I care about what God says. And when Jesus Christ returns to this earth, you better believe that he's going to put those sodomites and those homosexuals to death. By the way, they're not the only ones. Adulterers will be put to death. That list we read in the book of Leviticus there, all those will be put to death. A woman that would lie with a beast will be put to death. A man that would lie with his daughter-in-law will be put to death. Rapists, put to death. Praise God! Pedophiles, put to death. Praise God! Child molesters, put to death. Praise God! And you know what? When I see it, I will praise God for it. And I will glory in that, because you know what? That's what the Bible tells us we will be doing as Christians. You know, we will rejoice. The righteous will rejoice when he seeth the vengeance of God, the Bible says. You see, vengeance is not mine, right? Vengeance is the Lord, is his, right? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. You see, until that time, we have to be patient. Until that time, we have to endure unto the end. Until that time, we have to hold the works of God and preach the Bible and be that light in the midst of a perverse and crooked nation. And let me tell you something, the Philippines is a perverse nation. And if you get offended by that, you know what? My nation, America, is a perverse nation. And who do you think your nation's trying to copy, by the way? I come over here and I look at the Philippines, and you know what I see? I see the Philippines trying to copy America. My nation's perverse. My nation's wicked. My nation's going to hell because they forgot God. And if your nation forgets God and your nation follows after America, guess what will happen to your nation? The same thing. You see, I look at America and I see all the skinny jeans everywhere. And you know what I see when I come to the Philippines? Skinny jeans. I look at America and I see all the wicked music, the rock music, the rap, and all this wicked music. And when I come to the Philippines, guess what I hear? American music. The same exact nonsense going on, because America has infiltrated your country. So you know what? Don't get offended when I say your country is wicked, because my country is wicked. And you know what? Christians need to remember that they are pilgrims in this world, that we are strangers in this world. And you know what? We have a bond that's better than any nationality upon this earth. You see, the bond that we have as Christians, as the children of God, is that we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And you know what? In Jesus Christ, there's neither Filipino nor American. You see, in Jesus Christ, we're all Christians. In Jesus Christ, we're no more strangers and foreigners, but we are gathered together. We are citizens of that one nation, that heavenly nation, that is the New Jerusalem. And that is a nation that's going to rule and reign on this earth with Jesus Christ as its king, Jesus Christ as its ruler, Jesus Christ as its God. And you know what? I look forward to that day and time. Until then, I have to be patient. Until then, I have to endure the persecutions. I have to endure what the world will throw at me. But you know what? When that day and time comes, you better believe I'm going to praise God for it. When the sodomites are put to death and this world is made straight, praise God. Let's end a word of prayer, then I'll turn it back over to the pastor. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you've shown us here this morning in your word. Lord, I ask that you'd help us to take this, to search it out, to study it. Father, we thank you for your word, for how wonderful it is, for how deep it is, for the things that you have taught us. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen.